Hello, this is Peter Woolfolk. First, let me say thank you so much for being a listener. Now, I want to alert you to our shiny new podcast website located at podpage.com. However, you can go directly to the podcast site located at www.publicrelationsreviewpodcast.com. There, you can contact me through email. You can leave a voice message. You can leave a review. You can read an episode blog and frequently learn about the podcast guests. You might also want to suggest podcast topic ideas or even suggest a guest. You can also let me know if you would like to receive our podcast listener logo that you can post on your social media. So I look forward to hearing from you about our new podcast website, www.publicrelationsreviewpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening to the Public Relations Review Podcast, and have a great day.
Welcome. This is the Public Relations Review Podcast, a program to discuss the many facets of public relations with seasoned professionals, educators, authors, and others. Now, here is your host, Peter Woolfolk.
Welcome to the Public Relations Review Podcast, and to all our listeners across America and around the world. Now, many organizations have internal public relations staffers on board. However, there are times, whether because of growth, special projects, or the need for additional expertise, perhaps the time comes that your organization may need to retain a public relations, marketing, or digital firm to handle these projects. So how do you go about contracting with the firm that is best for you? Needless to say, there is a search firm that can help you reach a successful outcome with that effort. RFP Associates in Fairfax, Virginia is a communications agency search firm for the selection of public relations, public affairs, marketing, branding, and digital agencies. RFP Associates serves as an honest broker between the hiring entity and agency candidates through the request for proposal process. Steve Drake and Robert Udowitz founded RFP Associates in 2011 after observing the agency selection process from both sides of the aisle and recognizing the need to streamline and improve the search process with an unbiased approach. Robert and Steve have worked at agencies, corporations, and trade associations in New York and Washington. Steve worked in Beijing and Shanghai, where he opened Fleischmann Hilliard's first offices in mainland China. So joining me today are both Steve Drake and Robert Udowitz. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Glad to be on the show.
So let's start with telling me, when you say that you've observed the process from both sides, exactly what do you mean by that?
Both Robert and I have rather lengthy PR careers without getting into our ages here. But let's just say that we both have worked, when we say both sides of the aisle, both of us have worked inside PR firms and as well as sort of in-house. In my case, I worked for several years as the public relations head of what used to be Sylvan Learning Systems up in Baltimore, so in-house side. And then I worked, as you just introduced me, I was at Fleischmann Hillard and a couple of other PR agencies earlier in my career. So we both have had the opportunity to both pitch new business when we were with agencies, and Robert and I worked together actually at Fleischmann Hillard, and as well as hire agencies when we were sort of both in the on the corporate side or in the in-house side.
What did you see in terms of, well, let's say, those organizations that might be wanting to hire an agency? What problems did they have in maybe being able to identify exactly how they're going to go about it or what they needed in an agency?
So, Peter, taking a quick step back, one of the genesises of why we began our firm was we were encountering a number of colleagues that had hired agencies were not pleased with the outcome. They would engage with an agency, and the agency just was not doing the type of work that they wanted them to do. They didn't really recognize, quite honestly, the sort of faults in their process for hiring the firm because they just relied on colleagues' recommendations or just a quick, scant review of proposals. So we we knew that there was a better, smarter way to hire PR agencies, and we knew that with a methodical process and an agnostic or honest broker approach, we could find an agency for any organization that required to hire a firm.
Well, in that process, let's start with what do you think agencies need to do to prepare themselves to know what to look for in an agency?
You're speaking of in terms of the clients, what they need to.
That's right. You know, if I'm a PR agency, how do I prepare to look for an agency? What do I need to do?
Right.
To say that I need this, that, or the other. What are those things that I need to look for in an agency that I need to hire?
Sure.
Or maybe there's some internal preparation too. That what do we need to do to look for an agency?
Well, and that's really what Robert and I with RFP Associates really do, Peter, is
okay.
we help our clients who are what I call the hiring entities, the companies, the nonprofits, the associations that are, shall we say, shopping for an agency. We help basically guide them through a process. We're not brokers for agencies, but we guide them through a process that allows them to select the best agency partner. The way that I always approach this is, If an organization is looking for a new chief communications officer or PR public relations executive, right? Chances are they'll hire a headhunter firm, right? Or an executive recruiting firm that's going to go out and find the best candidates and vet them, take a look at their resumes, do background checks, and then they'll present, you know, the best of the best to their client for interviews, etc. Okay, when companies typically hire a public relations firm, an ad agency, a digital firm, you know, they're up until I think with RFP Associates, there really wasn't sort of an executive recruiting headhunting firm to help hire agencies. And so consequently, you know, as Robert sort of referenced, we had heard a lot of horror stories of companies that have sort of put together an RFP and shotgunned it out to, you know, several dozen agencies without really knowing what their qualifications are, et cetera. And then they're disappointed either in the quality of the proposals they get back, and ultimately, as Robert said, they're unhappy with the marriage once they do marry a, if you will, an agency. So, again, our job for our clients is to help take a look at, first and foremost, answer the question, why are you interested in hiring an agency? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What do you need done? Then we help the client articulate that in a request for proposal document. And at the same time, we also try to get a sense of, you know, what the budget is for the agency, that is. And so given our background, we're able to say to our clients, based on what you want out of this agency, you need to either budget more or we need to take some of the, you know, proposed activity or scope of work off the table. So again, we sort of help with all of those aspects. And again, we've got sort of a long process that we could go into gory detail about, but suffice it to say that fundamentally our job is to really help think through that question that you asked. What do we need to do to find the best agency partner? And that's the question that we help answer for our clients.
So, and Peter, well, I'll expand just a little bit more by just saying that there really is no cookie-cutter approach to identify and hire an agency. The reason why mm-hmm. I say that is because what's good for your colleague at another company is not maybe good for your own organization. You need to find an agency that has a specialty and then probably has a subspecialty that gets more to the heart of your particular organization's issues and mandates. So if you really think about it, you really need to start really evaluating agencies ahead of time before you actually start even asking agencies to start preparing and giving you proposals. And what we do is we actually begin our process with a request for qualifications. In the request for qualification part of the process, you start gathering the information about the agency that you need or the agencies that you need, so you realize which agencies are the best firms that should be qualified to give you their proposals.
Well, basically what I'm hearing, I guess as I was thinking, is that the firm needs to be able to say, you know, here's what we like to have done, or our specialty, let's say maybe we're in the hospitality industry. We deal with hotels and resorts and that sort of thing. So we need to have somebody that has that sort of prior experience. Is that part of the process to marry our skills, if you will, along with a PR firm's skills as well?
Yes, that's absolutely.
Using that example, Peter, which is a great example, is that what kind of hotel do you operate? Do you need a firm that specializes in boutiques, specializes in hotels that are globally, specializes in hotels that are just in a particular part of the country? You really need to ratchet down and find the specialty that the agency offers before you start considering the agency that's best for you.
That's the sort of information I was looking for, you know, that once maybe the company itself describes themselves, the company being the organization that wants to hire an agency, they might describe themselves in global terms. But then you come in and, as you said, drill down to find out more precisely what areas in that arena that they want to focus on and the type of work they would be asking the agency to perform for them.
That's absolutely correct, and we try to suss out that level of information that Robert's talking about in that RFQ, the request for qualifications process.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when we help clients with that request for qualification process, at this point, we maintain the client's anonymity. All right. So to continue with the example you're talking about, we would go out, we would do some research and find out what agencies, at least on paper, seem to have broad hotel experience. Then we would go out with our RFQ questionnaire, and we would say, in essence, you know, we are contacting you on behalf of a large international hotel brand that's interested in hiring a public relations agency, and we'd ask you to please complete the following questionnaire, which is going to be, you know, kept confidential to anyone except our client. And then we try to drill down and find out what hotels are they working for, what kind of experience have they had, and we can drill down very quickly and determine, at least again on paper, whether that particular agency has the right stuff. And by the way, is not currently working for, let's say, a competitor to our client,
mm-hmm.
right? So we also can sort of determine whether there's conflicts of interest at that RFQ stage. Once we collect all that information, we sit down with our client, we say, okay, of these, let's say, two dozen agencies that responded to our RFQ questionnaire, let's put our heads together and come up with the four or five or six that we think seem to be best qualified, and then we actually then issue the request for proposal to that smaller number. We're not mm-hmm. soliciting 25 or 30 proposals, right, from all these agencies. We're basically already filtering out the ones that either have conflicts or don't seem to have as much relevant experience as we thought they did. And we're only going to prepare the RFP and send it to those, you know, let's say 6 to 8 at the most. That's kind of what we generally recommend.
Mm-hmm.
And that obviously is a much more focused approach that we think, frankly, saves our client time and, frankly, money, rather than trying to field, you know, 2 or 3 dozen proposals and presentations and that sort of thing.
Have you ever had a client, those looking to bring on an agency, that is maybe beginning to take on a new field or area that they have not done before, maybe because they brought on a new staff member, all of a sudden now we want to do digital marketing. We haven't done that before, but we've hired a staff person to help, but we need somebody to help us. So now we begin to look for a PR firm to mm-hmm. give us a bit more breadth of experience, that sort of thing. Have you had that sort of experience at all?
Well, there are a number of fine specialty niche agencies around the country, and actually there have even been more growing in the last 10 years. And there are certainly clients that need this maybe digital support or
mm-hmm.
more support with internal communications, to your point. And absolutely. I mean, they don't necessarily have the staff or the expertise internally, so they require having an agency just for certain specialty items.
And I guess that answer, that's another question that comes up. How long is the engagement? Is it for a particular project, or is it for an ongoing series of assignments, or is it a combination thereof?
So are you asking about RFP associates' engagement?
Someone is asking you to bring on a PR firm for them, right?
Well, we have worked for clients that are looking for a short-term project, an agency to help them with a short-term campaign or project, and we've had clients that are looking for an annual and potentially renewable, you know, contract. We used to call mm-hmm. those retainers back right. in the old days. They're really not retainers per se, but, you know, because again, we try to get very detailed in the RFP about the scope of work and what would be expected. But so it really depends on the client. But again, that's one of the questions, Peter, that we ask, you know, when we first sit down with our clients is, okay, what's the problem or issue that you feel that you need a PR agency to help you address? And let's talk about, so the first question is, what does the agency ultimately that you hire need to address? And then we help them decide whether it's going to be a three-month project, if it's going to be an ongoing relationship, then we help with them think through the scope of work and the budget and everything else. So that's, again, that's kind of part of what we consider to be our job is at the front end.
Just out of curiosity, I'm wondering now, what has been perhaps your most difficult or challenging sound in terms of finding a PR firm for an organization that is doing whatever they're doing? There are a lot of complications and side issues or whatever, and it wound up being, as you saw it, perhaps your most difficult assignment that you were able to conclude successfully.
I don't really think any of our clients have necessarily been more challenging than the other. I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier in terms of being able to weed out agencies that claim that they have an expertise, but maybe when you really dig deeper, peel away the onion, you see that they really don't have the experience that you expect. So mm-hmm. it's the time that it takes to really identify and find what you need in an agency and then make the right hire. You know, as Steve mentioned earlier, you know, we'll start with a pool of maybe 25 agencies, send them this request for qualifications, determine which agencies we want to receive an RFP, and that's usually about 8 to 10. And as I said, then sometimes you start losing agencies to attrition because they don't have what they say. And that makes it a little bit more challenging for Steve and I because, okay. you know, you do rely on the agency's word at the up front, and then sometimes you go down the path only to learn that they really can't really substantively show the experience that we expect them to have.
Now, how wide a net do you cast when you begin to start looking for agencies? Is it citywide, statewide? Just how far do you go?
It all depends on the search itself. We do international searches. We've certainly found agencies for clients that are in Europe and Asia and Latin America. But I think it all depends, as Steve mentioned earlier, with what we do with the needs assessment at the beginning, learning where exactly the agency trying to target, what the requirements are for who they're trying to reach, and then the agencies that we're able to sort of identify that have those qualifications.
Right. Mm-hmm. And increasingly, Peter, and I think certainly the pandemic, COVID, has sort of accelerated this. You know, we find that, you know, that most of our clients are okay with, you know, hiring an agency. Or they say to us, the agency doesn't necessarily have to have an office here in Nashville, Tennessee, or, you know, wherever the client may be. So, again, to answer your question a different way, we, as Robert said, we identify 25 agencies that we want to send the RFQ to, but we actually look at a lot more agencies than that, and we use our own judgment to sort of say, these 25 agencies, we think we ought to check out with the request for qualifications. Mm-hmm. But again, increasingly, there are small boutique agencies that may be in Denver that would be perfectly suited to work for the hotel in Nashville, right? So, you know, we try to, in that sense, we do cast a wide net, again, for agencies that have the relevant and the requisite experience.
And again, as Steve said earlier, we are agnostic. We've helped clients identify and hire agencies that are multinational, and we've helped clients find agencies that are just small, local, regional, or even independent.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about a particular, maybe not so much multinational, but the fact is, yes, we are located in Nashville, Tennessee, and it looks like the agency with the best qualifications happens to be in Oregon. I know a lot of things are digital now. Do they make arrangements to have meetings, in-person meetings once a month? Or how do they normally handle those things so that it's not all at a distance?
Right. Well, again, that also, you know, that goes back to the questions we ask at the very beginning to determine, and that sometimes that goes in the budget and that sort of thing. And we'll ask questions like, well, look, isn't having in-person meetings important to you with the agency that you eventually will hire? If the answer is yes, then our next question is, does that mean that you would prefer that we look at agencies sort of in the region here, wherever we are, or, mm-hmm. you know, would you consider adding budget to fly the Oregon agency people to here to Nashville, you know, once a month or once a quarter or whatever? So we try to build those questions in at the beginning before we can start casting the net out. And
okay.
as Robert sort of referenced, some clients it's very important that they do have that face-to-face contact. Other clients, and I think, as I said, increasingly, other clients are comfortable, even before COVID, you know, doing things online or by telephone or by Zoom and that sort of thing. So,
And I ask the question because at some point in time, you've got to be able to show things. They're doing some sort of video work for a client, and obviously they could send video clips of what they've done thus far. But on some occasions, they might need to send something down there, such as hard copies of things, or maybe there's a model of something that has to be transmitted.
Sure.
So all of those things have to be worked out so that everybody's on the same page at the same time.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, and again, to the extent that we can kind of determine that at the beginning, then that obviously is going to shape who we approach on the agency side and, you know, how we write that scope of work in the request for proposal. You know, our RFPs are generally 12 to 15 pages long, not because there's a lot of legalese in there or anything like that, but because we try to get as detailed as we can on behalf of our clients to, you know, articulate a scope of work, but still allow the flexibility for the agency when they respond with a proposal and or a presentation to give that creative flexibility that they can say, well, okay, here's what you want me to do. Here's the audiences that are important to you, the client, and here's the budget. And the budget is a very important component of the RFPs that we prepare for our clients. And then the agency comes back and says, okay, well, this is how I would approach the problems and the scope of work that you have outlined.
Mm-hmm. You know, I want to add to the conversation, Peter, that the agencies that respond to our RFPs are generally pleased with our process. Whether they win mm-hmm. or they lose, they feel like they're treated well and respected. And even though there's a structure that we require in terms of our process, they are much, much rather happier to work with us than the clients that they typically respond to that don't have details in their RFP, have unreasonable deadlines, are not very clear with their scope of work, all the important components that an RFP really must have.
I'll just add what Robert said. The worst sin that I think a lot of would-be clients make is that they'll issue an RFP without any sense of budget. And then when the agency receives that and they come back and they say, well, okay, we're interested in preparing a proposal for you, but can you give us an idea of what the budget is? Clients that say, well, you tell me how much I need to spend on PR. Well, you know, Peter, we all know that every organization has a budget.
Right.
We actually counsel agencies, if, you know, if you receive an RFP, none of them would be our clients, obviously, but if you receive an RFP that gives you no sense of budget, run away as quickly as you can. First ask the question, and if they refuse to answer, then run away as quickly as you can. Right?
That's going to be a problem, absolutely. One of the things I've noticed is because I have a chance to talk to public relations classes myself, and they talk about, well, they don't really know whether they can handle an RFP or not. Well, or it's too complicated. First thing I tell them is, you know, go directly to the scope of work, because that's the essence of what your obligations are. And government stuff is just other regulations. Some of it is informational stuff. But if you can't respond to the scope of work, nothing else matters. You know, they've got a lot of forms you might have to fill in, but the scope of work normally is details, how much you have it done, how they have it done, and whatever goes along with that. And that's where I start. If I can handle that part of it, then we'll work our way through and do the rest of the things that are required.
Absolutely. I think that's good. That's good advice you've given your students. Yes.
And because, well, some of it, you know, you might have already. I mean, they're going to ask for maybe additional information such as your licenses or resumes, all those other kinds of things. So you have all of that. So, you know, don't get bogged down by the thickness of the package. Just go to the RFP scope of work pages. And once you feel comfortable that you can handle that, then you can work your way through the rest of that information.
And give yourself plenty of time to do the responses. You'd be surprised, Peter, how often we find agencies that either have waited to the last minute to prepare their proposal or asking us for an extension of time. And we make sure ample enough time is given to the agencies and they're pre-prepared early enough to actually respond to our RFPs that there shouldn't be those issues. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens that way, and it doesn't reflect well on an agency, and they really they should not be participating.
I was going to say the other piece that we didn't mention earlier. As I said, the one piece that we insist on putting into that RFP is the budget and a detailed scope of work, as you just spoke about, Peter. The other thing that our process entails is after we have selected those 6, 8, maybe 10 at the most, you know, firms that we want to issue the RFP to, the first thing that we do is hold what we call a bidder's call. And this surprises some of our clients, but I think they understand, and later they basically say, oh, that was a good move. Basically, what we do is invite in to that call, let's say the 8 to 10 agencies that now have the request for proposal in hand, and we basically have our client walk them through the RFP, answer questions, provide some color commentary on the request for proposal, and we say to so the agencies know who they're competing against. If I didn't make that clear, and so again, that raises some eyebrows sometimes at the front end of the process. But we feel, and the agencies have said to us, whether they win or lose the business, that it was so helpful not only having the budget and the clear scope of work, but also knowing who they competed against. Mm-hmm. Who they were going to compete against, because frankly, in some cases, after that bidder's call, we've had some agencies that have decided to pull out and to say, look, you know, they don't say this, but in essence, they know that competitor XYZ is at the table as well, and they know that for this particular assignment, they probably aren't going to compete well. So again, they save themselves and our client and us a lot of time and effort by basically withdrawing. But that's not the purpose of the bidder's call, to get agencies to withdraw, but rather to give them one shot at asking questions and clarifying things in the RFP so that our client isn't being peppered with offers to take them to lunch, we have more questions. I mean, but you'd be surprised, you know. So we sort of serve as the gatekeepers, and we say, okay, please submit your questions ahead of time, and feel free to ask more during the call. We record the call, and then we'll say, you know, if you have any other substantive questions after the call, come to us, RFP Associates, and we will approach the client. But then we're going to publish the answers to those questions for everyone, right? So in other words, we really, really try to level the playing field for all the agency competitors so that no one, you know, everyone has complete information, the same quantity, volume of information before they start to prepare their responses.
And that pretty much sounds like some of the RFP activities I've been through, because you have both government and non-governmental doing it, and where they actually have a meeting, so that you meet, most of the time you're meeting with buyers anyway, to ask questions, and everybody's sitting around the table, so and you also get a list of who attended. So that, you know ahead of time who is or know who's there and listen to the types of questions they're asking.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's a pretty good way of doing it. As you said, it sort of levels the playing field, at least at that particular area.
Yeah, that's the idea, yes.
Now, just out of curiosity, in terms of, do you have a flat fee for this? and does it vary depending on the size of the agents, the client that's hiring you? How do you go about determining your fee?
We use a business consulting model, Peter, and basically we charge a project fee based on the amount of time it's going to take to identify until they're hired.
Okay.
The duration, the term usually lasts about 3 months. And it's true, we have clients that are first concerned that it's going to be based on how much they'll be paying the agency on a monthly or annual basis. But we don't base our fee on percentages. We don't have a headhunter model at all. We focus solely on the business consulting model.
Well, you guys have provided an awful lot of great information here. Let me ask you if there's any question that I should have asked to bring out the information that you believe people need to hear that we may have missed.
Well, I guess one thing you didn't ask about, I don't know if you were aware, but we actually have kind of documented, I think, the soundness of our approach, if I can say that, through some research that we did for the Institute of Public Relations a couple of years ago, where we, and no one to our knowledge had ever done this kind of research, but we went out to roughly 100 chief communications officers working for, you know, Fortune 500 companies, major trade associations here in the, not all, but principally here in the Washington, D.C. area, and some large, you know, nonprofits. And we asked them basically questions about how they approached this topic, how they approached hiring an agency. And then we would ask questions about their primary agency. And in some cases, some of these people would have multiple agencies, right, for different projects. And without going into gory detail, the long and short of it was that, you know, these chief communications officers basically told us that they more or less relied on their own networks of, you know, in terms of getting recommendations, and they relied on their own knowledge and networks and on the advice of peers when they selected initial agency candidates. They, two-thirds of them, identified only 2 to 5 agency candidates before, you know, while they were sort of doing the quote, you know, RFP process, and a lot of them didn't actually issue requests for proposals and that sort of thing. So, and then of course at the back end we ask satisfaction question: were they satisfied with the agency that they selected? And not surprisingly, I think to us, the, you know, the chief communications officers who sort of instituted better best practices when it came to agency search and selection, by and large, were much happier, and their satisfaction levels was generally much higher with the agency that they ultimately hired, as opposed to those who were sort of relied on their own knowledge and that sort of thing, and their peer network for recommendations. So to us, the research kind of validated the process that I think Robert and I have kind of conveyed to you here in the last half hour or so.
Well, you know, one of the things I also noticed is that you guys also make an awful lot of presentations and have written some articles about that process, probably to help people who hadn't thought about it in the past. Hey, maybe this is something we need to look into. Have you benefited from those presentations and articles?
Oh, absolutely. We're evangelists. I mean, we don't necessarily, you know, we want to get out to get this right. You know, we first began by saying that many times, you know, we feel like we're on a soapbox because we want to make the agency selection process better. We feel that it gets a bad rap. We feel that there's some organizations out there that don't think highly of PR because they've had bad experiences with agencies. And we also think that if they properly evaluated and went through a good, strong RFP process, which we offer, they would be much more satisfied with the outcome of their agency selection and hiring. So when we get on a soapbox, we really are looking to improve this for the entire industry. And yes, indeed, we get work out of it, but we also develop the reputation of really, really wanting excellence in the process.
I mean, bottom line, how we pitch ourselves is, our RFP associates, that is, you know, we sort of explain that, look, yes, you're hiring an agency, but what does that mean in practical terms? You're hiring a team of however many, you know, 5, 6, 7 public relations professionals, right? So how is that any different than if you were going to basically hire each of those individuals onto your team in-house, then again, you'd either go to HR or you'd go to a headhunting firm, and you know, you would do thorough background checks and interviews and that sort of thing with those six individuals. So you're hiring a whole team. Your budget is going to be whatever you would pay that individual times 10 probably. So take the time, thoroughly vet. It doesn't mean, you know, you have to be abusive to the agency candidates and make them jump through all sorts of hoops, but it is to say, you know, take your time, do a thorough check on their background and the truthfulness of their qualifications, and then you know, take them through the proposal and then presentation process, and ultimately, you know, as Robert has said many times, ultimately the cream rises to the top, and it becomes pretty easy for the at the end of the process for the client to sort of come to consensus internally about, okay, these guys, you know, this agency is really the one for us. So,
very good. Well, let me say thank you both to Robert and Steve, you know, for being our guests today and helping us to understand that the agency selection process. And if you need more information, obviously RFP is a good place to call to get that process started. So I want to again thank.
I suggest going to our website, Peter. It's rfpassociates.net, if I may.
Well, I think that's an excellent way to go to make sure that they get all the information and see all of the things that you've done and the process that you go through. And some of the places that you've made presentations, I think, is another way to help document the fact that you have a process that's obviously working. So let me thank both of you for, you know, taking the time to be guests on the Public Relations Review podcast. And let me also thank my guests for listening, and please stay tuned for the next edition of the Public Relations Review podcast.
This podcast is produced by Communication Strategies, an award-winning public relations and public affairs firm headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, this is Peter Woolfolk speaking. Now, first of all, thank you so very much for listening to the podcast. Now, I am very excited to let you know that the podcast is now available on Amazon Alexa. You know the drill. Simply say, Alexa, play Public Relations Review Podcast, and she'll take it from there. And again, thank you for listening. And if you enjoy the program, please become a subscriber. Now, on to the podcast.